In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Time to talk movies. Here, Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everybody in the family. 557 Stillwater Avenue, Bangor. Alan Adams in studio with us. Hello there, sir.
Ew.
Carrie will get your mic on any minute now. He's already checked out.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yep. I understand completely.
New Orleans time. you had a busy weekend, improv shows, weddings, my goodness.
Yeah, no, we did a brief set as part of the Artober kickoff party at the Bangor Arts Exchange on Friday night, and then immediately turned around and went ahead and did a whole show, too.
She's crazy.
Starting at 8 o'clock. You know, it wasn't a huge turnout, although all things considered, considering how hopping downtown Bangor was on Friday night, I'd say we did all right as far as folks. Good show. We had some fun.
Yeah.
And then, on Saturday, speaking of the focus group, former focus group member Dustin Slate tied the knot.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah, got, you know, someone made an honest man of him.
Yes.
But yeah, we were down in Cape Elizabeth just had a great time. It was a nice little impromptu reunion of some folks that hadn't seen each other in a while. And, you know, it was a lovely ceremony. Dustin actually, at his bride's behest, played her down the aisle himself with an acoustic guitar.
Wow, nice.
It was one of the most sweetly dorky things I've ever seen in my entire life. So Dustin and Marianne, congratulations. And then I spent yesterday, you know, slowly making my way back here.
Yeah. Like you do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Take your time. No rush.
No rush at all.
And you managed to somehow get to a couple of movies.
I did. I actually did see a couple of movies. I heard Mike Lowe talking, discussing A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
Do you want to start with that, or would you like to start with the box office? I mean, they both did a massive box office this weekend. It's rare to see two movies do so well the same weekend. But I'm happy to go with either
one. No, it's up to you.
We'll start with A Star Is Born. Yeah, why don't we do that?
Sure.
That's the one that people seem to be as excited about. Like Mike was saying, it is an exceptional offering, and I will freely admit I'm not as well versed in the in the previous incarnations of this movie. Like, I think I saw the Streisand Christofferson one like one time. I actually learned in the course of my research for writing this review, Joan Didion is a credited screenwriter on A Star Is Born.
Really?
On the 1976 version.
Wow.
And I've never seen the Judy Garland starring Moss Hart screenplay, mid-50s A Star Is Born.
I actually watched some of that yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
And she's great in it. James Mason is great in it.
Sure.
I've never been a huge fan of any of the iterations of A Star Is Born, and you couldn't get away. I mean, that's my wheelhouse there, 76. You could not get away from that movie or the music.
Oh, sure. Eesh. Yeah. I would say maybe get ready to hear a fair amount of music from this one.
I've heard some, and actually it sounds good.
Music's really good. Like, the music's really good. It's like across the board, like, because I have, you know, I had some doubts going into this movie.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where it's like, yeah, I like Bradley Cooper. I think he's a talented actor. How's he going to be in his first go around as a director, especially when he's directing himself, you know? And we know that Lady Gaga is a talented musician, but is she going to be able to, bring something really, truly genuine, to a character that's going to require it? Is it going to be able to elicit, you know, genuine pathos, or is it just going to be sort of pathetic? And happily, it turned out to be a really great movie going experience. It's the sort of movie that doesn't get made anymore, I think, in a lot of ways. Cooper stars as a guy named Jackson Maine. He's a rock and roll icon type guy.
So they ditched Norman Maine for Jackson Maine. Yeah. Contemporized it a little bit, because ain't nobody named Norman.
Yeah, there are a few Normans, certainly in the rock and roll world.
Right.
Jackson Maine, he's a, you know, sort of an aging rocker, According to reports, modeled largely after Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam, which you could definitely see.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more of a sort of a country rock twist to it, but the vibe is definitely there. He's touring. He's living the rock and roll lifestyle, the drugs, the booze, plus he's dealing with a slowly worsening issue with his hearing, an issue that his much older brother, Bobby, played by Sam Elliott, is very,
wow, much older brother. Yeah.
There's actually a chunk in the middle of the movie devoted solely to them, parsing out how that's possible. I'm not going to go into the details because you'll know it when you get there, but it all makes sense. I'll promise you that. Put it this way. They're not full brothers. They're half brothers.
I gotcha.
And so he's out on the town after a show, and he's like, I want to get a drink. Has his driver just pull over, and he winds up getting out and going into this bar that is having a drag show. However, not all the performers are drag queens. One performer is neither a drag queen nor a lip syncer. Her name is Allie, and she's played by Lady Gaga. She comes out and absolutely destroys a version of La Vie en Rose, the French song, beautiful. Impresses Bradley Cooper, and they have a whirlwind night where they drink their way across town and share their feelings and sing songs to each other. And he's just genuinely like taken aback by this, this sort of incandescent talent he sees coming from this young lady. But eventually he takes her home and drops her off at her house, where we discover in the morning that her dad, she lives with her dad, a guy named Lorenzo, who is played by Andrew Dice Clay.
Really?
Yes. Who's wow. excellent, by the way. Everyone. Wow. First of all, everyone in this movie is excellent. And then before you know it, like he sends Jackson Maine sends his driver to pick Allie up and says, come to my show in a place that they don't actually tell you what city it is. But it turns out you need a jet to get there. So he drives her to the airport. She gets on a private jet. She goes to the concert and is standing backstage and enjoying things. And wouldn't you know it, Jackson Maine basically says, you need to come out here and sing that song that you sang to me while we were both drunk in that parking lot last night. And she comes out and she does, and it's beautiful, and it goes, a video of it goes viral, and then a star is born.
Yeah.
And so we watch as her star is on the rise while his continues to slowly fade. He's dealing with his substance issues as well as some insecurities about, the way she's rising to the top. She struggles with some of the trappings of fame and how, her new manager and her record label wants to make all these changes about who she is, turn her from the singer-songwriter type that she is into a pop star that frankly more closely resembles who Lady Gaga actually is, which I thought was an interesting take. And we watch as their relationship sort of ebbs and flows as their careers sort of take different trajectories. And we deal with the fallout from that. And it's not like it's a surprise how it ends, but I'm not going to go into any detail about it. But you bring it all together, and interspersed throughout are wonderful songs performed, unsurprisingly well by Lady Gaga, and performed frankly shockingly well by Bradley Cooper. Like he's got a legitimately good singing voice, especially for this kind of music, the sort of raspy rock and roll kind of stuff. The songs are great. The performances are fantastic. Cooper and Lady Gaga are excellent. Sam Elliott's great. Andrew Dice Clay is great. Like everybody's great. The big surprise for me was how well directed the movie is. Mm. Because again, like it's, he's never done this before. Like this is his first time out of the gate. And I know you've been doing movies for a long time, but switching, moving behind the camera is not an easy thing to do, especially when you're directing yourself from a script that you worked on and dealing with music that you yourself helped create. Like, I mean, it's just this very, very much a sort of auteur kind of thing that's happening, despite the fact that it's a massive movie. And I'm happy that it's as good as it is, because I think the tendency and we'll talk about it with this next movie that we're gonna get to. The tendency to sort of use IP as a crutch. And again, like, this is a pre-existing story that's being retold. So in some respects, it's the same kind of thing. But it's a story about people. It's a story about relationships. It's a story that, you know, has some connection to the world as we see it. And it's really good. Like, yeah. We're going to see a lot of it's going to receive a ton of attention come awards season. I don't know if it's going to, I don't know what it's going to win. I don't know what else is coming down the pike necessarily. Expect all the major categories, they're going to get some attention.
Very cool. All right. How about Venom?
Venom was not as good a movie. Well, it's funny. Like, I'm familiar with the character from his beginnings back in the late 80s. I'm gonna do a little bit of a deep dive here. For those who are unfamiliar, Venom actually began as known simply as the alien costume that Spider-Man inadvertently became clad in during the crossover event Secret Wars back in 1984. We didn't realize that the costume was in fact a sentient being itself until years later. And then it possessed journalist Eddie Brock and became the character known as Venom. And the thing about it is the character's always kind of been a little bit of an empty suit, like just more like an attitude than any sort of real character. And that part of it they captured beautifully in the movie because there's not a lot going on. It's got Tom Hardy, who's phenomenal. As Eddie Brock, investigative journalist, he does this sort of weird video, podcast, video, you know, vlog or whatever that's apparently very popular. And he's investigating an outfit called the Life Foundation, run by a guy named Carlton Drake, a billionaire. He's played by Riz Ahmed. And the Life Foundation is trying to find ways to extend life. And part of that is through space missions to outer space to discover things out in space that might help people live longer. And one of their ships discovers life on a comet. They call them symbiotes, and they bring some of them back to Earth, but the ship crashes. And so one of the symbiotes gets out, and the other ones get shuffled off to the Life Foundation, where they're immediately unleashed on human test subjects because that's how we work in this universe. Meanwhile, Eddie Brock is like, the Life Foundation, what's up with that? There's some strange stuff going on there. His girlfriend, who's a lawyer, her name's Anne, and she's played by Michelle Williams in one of the most thankless parts I've ever seen. She just happens to be working, her firm is working with the Life Foundation, defending against some sort of lawsuit. Eddie Brock, in a horrible violation of her privacy, sneaks onto her email and finds out classified information regarding the Life Foundation. And so when his boss, conveniently enough, the next day is like, hey, Eddie, we need you to interview Carlton Drake. It's a puff piece. Don't ask any hard-hitting questions. Just go in, throw some softballs, get out. That's all we want. Because he'll destroy you because he's a billionaire. And Eddie Brock, you know, goes in, asks a couple of questions, and then immediately is like, hey, what's the deal with all these people that keep dying with all your experiments and stuff? As you might imagine, that brings Eddie Brock's journalistic career to a screeching halt. It also ends his relationship and leaves him with a bit of a drinking problem.
Oh, dear.
And, you know, no place to live, et cetera, et cetera. But we flash forward to 6 months later, and he gets tracked down by one of the doctors at one of the lead scientists at the Life Foundation, played by Jenny Slate, who basically says, hey, there's terrible things going on in here. You should take down Carlton Drake. And so, like you do, she immediately takes him in after hours to the Life Foundation and basically says, go in here and don't touch anything. What he does, well, he touches something.
Well, of course he does.
And then we get, he winds up bonded with one of the symbiotic organisms from space. It is called Venom. And then we get basically, you remember the movie All of Me with Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin?
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that, except with superpowers and maybe a little bit more of a nihilistic streak. So you've got, two people living in the same head, and he starts using his powers in an effort to Rich, I'll be honest. I don't know what the hell he's no using idea. His powers trying to do. Like, the bad guy is the billionaire who wants the thing back for reasons that, again, aren't necessarily super clear. And, yeah, he does a lot of cool superpower stuff. I enjoyed the heck out of this movie. It's bad. It's a bad movie. Its biggest problem is, you know, you're using this character that is essentially defined by its... you know, by its heroic, you know, counterpart. Like, Venom is defined right. by Spider-Man, and there's no Spider-Man in this movie at all. Like, there's a gigantic Spider-Man-shaped hole in this movie, and none of the work that any of these people do is enough to, you know, to counterbalance that. You can't fill that hole without, you know, without Spider-Man. Right. And so, yeah, it doesn't go nearly as off the rails. Well, okay, it does go off the rails, but in a way that's really kind of delightful to watch. Like, I enjoyed the experience. Tom Hardy, you know, growling and grumbling and slurring and mumbling and doing his Tom Hardy thing. And Michelle Williams wondering what the hell she's doing here. And, yeah, and everybody else basically cashing their checks. We're clearly set up for a sequel. And with an $80 million box office return for opening weekend, I imagine it will happen sooner rather than later.
There you go. The word on Venom and A Star is Born from Alan Adams. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.